take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. For many, many, many weeks now, we've been talking about the subject of separation. Tonight is lesson number 36. And I would say to you, the end is near. I would think by the time we hit lesson, about number 40, we'll be concluding this and then going on to another subject. Tonight, we're going to talk about separation from slothfulness. Slothfulness. Now, the word slothfulness is not a popular word in our day. And just to get started, that would be akin to our word laziness. But the Bible talks about separation. And it talks about it in regard to this thing called slothfulness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11. If you found it, would you stand with me real quickly? If you'll stand up, we're going to read a handful of verses. I'll read them out loud, and you can just follow along. Starting with 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 11, the Bible says this: "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, know that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed." I hope you are listening to those words. God gave some pretty clear instruction about laziness and how we ought to respond to it. And we're going to talk about that this evening. Let's pray. Father, help me tonight. The sermon is quite simple, quite practical, quite down to earth. But it's something that you've given us in the Bible, and it needs to be taught. We need to learn it. Not only do we need to hear it, but we need to live it. Now, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, protect us from the evil one, and help us, Lord, to be better Christians, better citizens, better people, because we came to church tonight and learned something from thy book. Holy Spirit, once again, do a work, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible open there to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'm going to talk about that little handful of verses that I just read to you. I've already told you the lesson's all about laziness, what the Bible calls slothfulness. Now, in verse number 11, it reads like this: "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly." Now, that word disorderly, it's somewhat easy to understand. It's talking about someone's out of line. Now, you say out of line with what? Well, first of all, anytime you're out of line with the Bible, that's disorderly. But they're out of line. There's a chaotic way about them, mixed up, a disorganization. My mom used to use the term scatterbrained. Whoever this disorderly person is, that could create an element of disunity. God associates, though, disorderly people to people then who are slothful or people who are lazy. If you look at it, it said, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." So as you can see, God is saying these people are disorderly and they're not workers. They're not working. Then he uses the term, or he refers to them then being busybodies. You say, well, preacher, if someone were lazy, how could they be lazy and busy all at the same time? He called them busybodies. Now, what you say, what's that mean? That does not mean that they were not busy working. They were busy about unnecessary, unproductive, actually, they were disassembling more than they were assembling. They were busybodies. So you say, what were they busy doing? Talking. Busybodies talk too much. Criticizing. Excuse making. Making themselves look busy, but their busyness is unproductive. You say, how do you know that? Because that's what the verse says. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, and are busy bodies. You say, well, what did God tell these people to do? Hang on. In verse number 12, he said, now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness, he said, tell them to shut their mouth, with quietness, they work. So he's saying, you need to be quiet and go to work. Then he said, and eat their own bread. What's it talk about? It's talking about them, the bread they earned. They're to eat the bread they earned, not bread that somebody else earned, but the bread that they earned, their bread. Okay, and then it goes on. Look at verse, as we go on, it says there in verse number 13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word, now, what was he just talking about? He was talking about people that were lazy and people that were not working. And now he says, if any man obey not what we just said, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. That he may be ashamed. That's amazing to me. Now, what does that mean? It means you ought to make note of somebody that's lazy or slothful and they won't work. Oh, they make themselves look busy, but they're not productive busy. And then he actually said, make note of it and have no company with them. You understand that that means there's a separation that ought to take place. Hardworking people should be careful spending all their time with lazy people or slothful people. And God said, when the hard worker retracts themselves from the lazy person because the lazy person doesn't want to work, in all reality, God said, really, the lazy person ought to be ashamed of themselves then. They ought to be ashamed that a hardworking person didn't want to be around them because they just want to waste their life or waste their time. Now, I'm going to read a verse to you. It's found in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 18 says this, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through. Now, that word slothful, you say, what does that word mean? And I know we don't use the word slothful in our day much. But it means lazy. It means idle. It means they're loafers, they're neglectful, they're lethargic, they're lackadaisical. Someone that's careless or apathetic or unconcerned or unindustrious. In other words, unproductive slackers. That's what a slothful person is. Now, notice it said, but by much slothfulness the building decayeth. So God is saying that someone that is slothful or lazy, they are responsible for the decay of their building. You say, well, what's that talking about? Well, when it talks about decay, I think everybody here knows what tooth decay is, right? You let it go and things fall apart. Then if you let it go long enough, it smells and it rots and it poisons you and everything else. So, he said there is decay as a result of slothfulness. The buildings are decaying. And then we're told, he said, now, he actually said, you ought to separate from those lazy, slothful, busybodies. God also commands us to be... Now, we're to be hard workers, and God teaches that. It's taught all the way through the Bible. But when we talk about being a hard person, a hard working person, God is talking about doing it physically. And a lot of people, when you talk about being a hard worker, all they think about is physical labor. But, you know, I know this generation, they need not only be hard workers physically. God knows this generation needs to work hard on their emotions. Work hard at controlling their emotions. We live in a volatile life. I mean, it is just, it's just incredible. So I think we should work hard physically. I think we should work hard emotionally. And I think we should work hard spiritually. You know, the Bible talks about for one to pray and to put any time into it, it is a weariness of the flesh. Because your flesh does not want to pray. Your flesh wants to look at your email and look at your texts and go have a cup of coffee at prayer time. Your body wants to draw, your flesh wants to draw you away from doing spiritual things. But God said we should work physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and we should work hard. Hey, hard work includes blisters and calluses and sore muscles and strained eyes and weariness and sweat. And I know we're all just totally concerned about being harmed because of hard work, but there are times when you work hard enough, you will ache and you will have pains and you'll get a headache from it and you'll get weary and you'll be thirsty and you'll be hungry. And our society says, that's bad. And God said, that's good. That's good. I love what he says, and he makes it real clear. He said, I think you need to close your mouth, go to work, earn bread, and eat what you earned. God doesn't make things hard. He makes things real easy. But I was amazed. He said, note the lazy person. And he did not say be mean to them. He did not say hurt them. He said note them, learn from it, and separate yourself. And you say, well, why would God tell us to separate ourselves from the lazy person? So that you don't become like them. So you don't become like them. Now, I'm going to talk to you about slothfulness. In all reality, tonight's lesson is in two parts. You'll hear the first part tonight and the next part next week. It's all about separation and slothfulness. So many times when we talk about separation, we seem to think it just has to do with what we would call worldliness, the Hollywood and those sort of things. Now, throughout the Bible, God tells us many times to sanctify ourselves. What's that mean? Set ourselves apart. Move away from certain things because we're to be different. And Christians are not supposed to be like the world. We're to be different. We're to be an example of what Jesus Christ is and was. So I'm going to give you 5 or 6 points tonight and then the same next week about this subject of slothfulness. Now, to some of you, you'll say, oh, I know this and I've seen this in the Bible, and we've got a lot of hard-working people here at our church, and I thank God for that. But it is a topic that's in the Bible. It is worth our teaching and worth our learning. And if for no other reason, maybe some of us can be reminded of this thing of slothfulness. But I will promise you, there are some people here tonight. This will get in their crawl a little bit, because God makes it real clear you're not to be lazy. You're not to be slothful. To the point that he tells us to separate from the slothful. Let me get started. Number one, slothful people, they make tomorrow their favorite day. Slothful people make tomorrow their favorite day. There's a big word that we use to describe it. It is procrastination. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:28, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. And what they're saying, and this is actually probably talking even about a payment of some sort, but it's saying here that we are not to put off to tomorrow what we should or could do today. There are people, probably under the sound of my voice, but there are a lot of people in this world that they are putting off their success. They're putting off so many things that they ought to be doing. And it's a part of laziness. Did you know that you may not have tomorrow? There are sometimes people put things off that should have been done today, could have been done today. It was right to do them today. But folks, we may not have tomorrow. Lazy people are always delaying their work. I'll take care of that tomorrow. I'll get to that later. I'll get to that the next time. I'll do it tomorrow. Did you know that today is the tomorrow of yesterday? I know people that will die and go to an eternity in hell because They put salvation off until tomorrow. I think there are people that sincerely say, you know what, I'm going to get saved. There are a lot of people in here are soul winners. I wonder how many people you've said, boy, you give them the gospel and they say, you know what, I'm going to take care of that someday. I'm going to do that someday. I'll take care of that tomorrow. Well, for some of them, they didn't have a chance. They didn't get that tomorrow. Now, so might I say to you, one thing you better be very careful of, if you're not saved tonight, if you're not on your way to heaven, I wouldn't put it off until tomorrow. I wouldn't say like they did in the New Testament, well, maybe there'll be a more convenient time. There's no better time to get saved than right now. You don't know that you'll have tomorrow, but slothful people make tomorrow their favorite day. They just keep putting it off. I'll clean that up tomorrow. I'll fix that tomorrow. I'll get that right tomorrow. I'll get a job tomorrow. I'll pay my bills tomorrow. I'll do what needs to be done tomorrow. I'll decide to get right with God and I'll start fixing myself spiritually tomorrow, someday. And I would recommend that I think there are people right here in this building, you sincerely plan to get right with God someday. You don't want to live like you're living for the rest of your life. You're going to get it right someday. And that's laziness. And that's what we call procrastination. And God said, don't do that. That's a dangerous thing to do. Secondly, slothful people have many unfinished tasks. Many unfinished tasks. Let me read you a couple of verses. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, here the Bible tells us that Jesus was a finisher. You and I ought to thank God Jesus finished his task. Him finishing the task made it so that we could be saved. Say, but preacher, what I need to do is hard. What, have you stopped to think about how hard it is to resurrect yourself from the dead? I doubt that your task is that challenging. But Jesus finished what he started. Jesus was a finisher. In John 19:30, it says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. There's Jesus again. And he is a finisher. The Apostle Paul was a finisher. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul wanted to be a finisher. Jesus was a finisher. And slothful people or lazy people, they don't finish their jobs. They start something and they don't finish it. Young people, you need to start your homework and finish your homework. And those of you that are studying, for instance, I think to every young person that you're in grade school or high school, I think you need to finish school. Don't quit school. You say, well, why shouldn't I? Because if you quit school and then you can't go out and earn a living, you got to eat somebody else's bread. You see, God said, you shouldn't be eating somebody else's bread. You ought to be eating your bread. You say, what's that mean? Bread you earned. So you need to finish school. And I said, if you're in grade school or high school, those of you that are, you know, you started your way through college, there's some finishing that needs to be done. May not come quickly or easily, but you need to finish. You're going to think I'm meddling, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Finish your housework. Finish the big tasks. Finish the small tasks. I think it's important that you finish what you start. Can I tell you something? I've visited in a lot of nursing homes, and I've been around a lot of people when they grow older. Can I tell you something? If you're not careful, if you don't finish what you'll start, you'll be a basket case when you're older. Unfinished tasks are frustrating to people. I know people that don't even want to be at their house. You know why? There's so many unfinished tasks. They don't want to be there. They would be surrounded by the chaotic disorganization in their home. So they don't want to be there. But they would feel so much better if the tasks at home were finished. I'll promise you, a lady enjoys going home when the dishes are done and the house is clean and the laundry's done and everything's in its place. Husbands like to come home when the house is not a wreck and things are put away and they're in their place. But when things are not finished, we're frustrated and we don't like it. Boy, y'all, everybody okay? Slothful people are known for having unfinished projects. Slothful people make tomorrow their favorite day. Let's make sure that we're finishers. Now, number three, slothful people, this will sound crazy to you, but hear me out. Slothful people are tired all the time. Slothful people are tired all the time. Now, obviously, hardworking people are tired, but I want you to listen to me. You probably figure, how in the world could someone that is slothful, how could somebody that's lazy still lay around and be tired? Well, it's scriptural. It's what the Bible teaches. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. You say, what's it teaching? The people who lay around all the time have a desire to lay around some more. That scripture teaches that slothfulness produces more slothfulness. Laziness produces more laziness. Apathy produces more apathy. A lack of activity creates a desire for a greater lack of activity. I think there are a bunch of people here that would understand. You'll get what I'm about to say. Let's take exercising or going to the gym. You don't want to exercise. You don't want to go to the gym. The less you go, the less you want to go. Now, but if you make yourself go to the gym or you make yourself exercise, you feel so much more energy than you ask yourself, well, why don't I do this more often? The spent energy creates a desire for more exercise, not less. Did you know that if you sleep too much, it'll cause you to be tired? And then you say, well, that's ridiculous. No, it's scriptural. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. I think there's a right amount of sleep for anyone to be healthy. And I don't think that right amount is the same for everybody. I think there's somebody in here that needs 8 or 9 hours of sleep a day. And that's the right amount and your body will be healthy. My body's not like that. I sleep just right about 5 hours a night, and that's enough for me, and I've got energy to burn off, and it's good. But I'll tell you this, I don't think I could make myself sleep for 10 hours. I can't even imagine that happening in my life. But if I did, the times that I slept a long time, I woke up tired. Because there is a reverse effect. Laziness produces more laziness. Some of you need to become a friend to your alarm and get up when it goes off. Get up when it goes off. You young people, you need to learn how to do it. If not, you're going to be eating somebody else's bread because you won't be able to earn it for yourself. Slothful people are tired. And they're tired all the time. You get around people that never do anything. You know what? They're wore out. They're just wore out. They don't have any energy. Why? You have to invest energy to produce energy. And that's just the way it is. So, slothful people, according to Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 15, they're tired all the time. Number four, it does not bother a slothful person if someone else carries them. And when I'm not talking about physically, though they wouldn't mind that either. I said it does not bother a slothful person if somebody else carries them. Galatians 6:5 says, for every man shall bear his own burden. You said, well, I thought that verse right there meant they should bear their own heartache. Well, I'm sure that it does. It's talking about any burden in life. I'm to carry my burden and you're to carry your burden. Notice God wants each person to carry their own emotional responsibility, physical responsibility, spiritual responsibility. This then implies that every one of us has certain responsibilities for which we are obligated to God to carry. I grew up in a home where my dad insisted that I learn how to make it on my own. Insisted. My father felt like he would be a failure if he did not teach me to walk on my own two feet and that I learn how to take care of me, my wife, and my kids. That's how I was trained. And I think I was trained right. I cringe when I go out to a restaurant and somebody tries to buy my meal. You say, why? I've been taught I'm to buy my own. I'm just to buy my own. Now, some of you from the last generation, you do understand what I'm saying, right? But be careful, folks. If you're not careful, you want everybody to do everything for you. You want everybody to meet all your needs. You want to make sure everybody's catering to you. And it doesn't cost you anything. Lazy people will let others do for them what they could do for themselves. Lazy people want someone else to pay their way. Lazy people are constantly looking for the easy way in the handout. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not well. Now, let me tell you something. If you're not well, you ought to work to whatever degree your health will allow you to work. A health issue does not release you of all responsibility in life. But in our society today, that's what they're trying to teach you. And it's not true. It's just not true. Now, I know a man that's a quadriplegic. And he works a full-time job. And he rides his little cart to work and he puts in 8 hours a day and he does it 5 days a week. And he's a man. He's a man. He can hold his, well, he can barely hold his head high because he's a quadriplegic. I can show you, I have friends that have no arms and legs that work jobs. Why? They want to eat their own bread. But lazy people want somebody to do it for them. They want all the free stuff and all the benefits. And I'll tell you what, we have now reared a generation that if they don't get all the free stuff and the benefits, they're angry. That's wrong. That's wrong. So it doesn't bother a slothful person if someone carries their load, and it doesn't slother people. They're tired all the time, and what they need to realize is if they would go out and work, they would get energy from working. That you become strong by lifting weights, and you will become strong that way. But if you don't lift the weights, you can't gain the strength. Slothful people, that they don't finish what they start. Slothful people always are procrastinating and putting it off to another day. I'll give you one more tonight. I do not think everyone's spirit will sustain any more than one more point. The slothful's possessions are usually not cared for well. Number five, the slothful's possessions are usually not cared for well. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 through 34, it says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And I hope you're listening to the words that are being used. Really listen to what God is saying about laziness. Let me read it again. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown up with thorns and nestles and had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, little slumber, little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Now here's what it said there. There's a slothful person, a lazy person, one that doesn't want to work. His vineyard was full of weeds. Okay. Now in this era, that vineyard, that would have been the way he could have earned a living. But it's full of weeds. What's that mean? He's not attended to what he could have attended to and had a job, had an income. He'd say, I can't buy bread, don't have money. And someone would say, well, why don't you take care of your vineyard? Your vineyard could have produced money, but it's all grown over. So I'll have to eat somebody else's bread. Somebody else can give me bread because I don't have bread of my own. Well, he had a vineyard, but he wouldn't take care of it. It says the walls in his home or property were broken down. Now the walls would have been, basically it would have been surrounding his house. But they're all broken down. So he's not taking care of his house. He's not taking care of that could have been his job or his employment. His possessions are in ill repair because he's too lazy to take care of them. Now, can I tell you all something? If you don't take care of your possessions, they will all fall apart. And you will have wasted what God gave you. You know, you don't have to have the most expensive house in the world, but you can keep it clean and you can keep it up to whatever degree you can. But you shouldn't just let it go. The same would be true of your clothing. The same would be true of your car. Take care of what you have. Then it's the spectator says here, says, then I saw and considered it well. In other words, the spectator looked at it. He said, I looked at this mess. I considered it, but he didn't just glance at it for a second. It says he considered it well. In other words, he took a long, serious look at a slothful person that had a way to earn an income. They had a home but wouldn't take care of it. And he said, I looked upon it and received instruction. And this is what he figured out. He said, it says, yet a little sleep. What you say, what's that mean? Well, the spectator noticed somebody wanted a little more sleep. They wanted a little more sleep more than they wanted to labor and care for their work or care for their belongings. Just a little more sleep. They wanted to sleep more than they wanted to succeed. They wanted to sleep more than they wanted to work. They wanted to sleep more than they wanted to reach a goal. They wanted to sleep a little bit more. Now, I told you earlier, I think we're all, there's an amount of sleep that you need to be healthy. But you need to figure out what that is. And if I were you, I wouldn't waste any more time sleeping than what you have to. You say, what? Wasting time sleeping? Yeah, I think you ought to sleep, get it over with, wake up and go do what you're supposed to do. Didn't you all feel that way? Then it says, I looked upon it and received instruction, yet a little sleep. And then it says, a little slumber. I looked up that word slumber. The spectator noticed somebody wanted slumber more than they wanted to keep up their belongings and keep up their job and to succeed. The word slumber there is it means relaxed time or inactivity. So they wanted to be asleep, and then if they were not asleep, they just wanted to lay around. So if I'm not asleep, I'll wake up and I'll just watch television. But I can't pay my bills, and I've got to eat bread that somebody else provided for me. And then it says this, so shall thy poverty come. Now, don't be shocked if you won't work if you don't live in poverty. It's rare that I ever find anybody that can't work some. Poverty has come upon the slothful. Why? Due to their laziness and them making their self-justified excuses for that poverty. So the slothful's possessions are not cared for. Their potential to work is not cared for. They don't mind if somebody else carries them. They find themselves tired all the time. So the slothful virtually says, you know, even if I got a job, I don't know if I'd have the energy to go to work. Sure you would if you'd make yourself go to work like everybody else. I don't know of anybody that wakes up in the morning and says, yippee, I get to go to work. When I wake up in the morning, I am resurrected from the dead. But I don't stay in the grave. You say, you like getting up in the morning? What knucklehead likes getting up in the morning? But you're not supposed to do what you like all the way through life. That's this mamby-pamby, spoiled generation in which we live. So I don't like to work. Well, welcome to the club. You're not just supposed to do what you like. It's a good thing that somebody got you potty trained, because at first you didn't like the potty. We finally convinced you you're not supposed to do just what you like. And what you needed to do was right to do, and now you have the ability not to be embarrassed because somebody got you past doing your own thing. But the slothful, they make tomorrow their favorite day. They don't finish what they start. Now remember, the Bible says by much slothfulness, the building decayeth. Decay comes because of slothfulness. But not only that, remember, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I'm going to read this to you one last time and we're going to be done. But listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11 through verse 14. And remember, now we're talking about laziness. It's the very first verse that I used, and it says this: "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle," note that man, "have no company with him, that he may be ashamed." Listen, if you're lazy, you ought to be ashamed. You say, "You trying to hurt me?" No. The whole purpose of the shame is not to hurt you, it's to motivate you. It's to motivate you. You ought to say, "Well, I don't want to be lazy. I don't want to be slothful. I don't want to be idle or loafer. I don't want to be neglectful of my duties or lethargic or lackadaisical. I don't want that. I don't want to be considered apathetic or unconcerned or unindustrious." Everybody here, no matter how old they are, everybody here, if you're alive, you ought to continue to be productive in your life. Continue to be productive. Keep moving forward. Keep pushing yourself forward. And don't be slothful. Next week we'll get to the tougher part of the lesson. And so, let me tell you something. Next week I'll tell you this. We are to separate from slothfulness. If I were you, I'd separate at work from the lazy people. Now be friendly, be kind. But if you're not careful, you run around with the lazy people at work, you'll be in trouble. It won't take long. Could I recommend that you're at school you separate from the slothful? You know, you go to school and you've got kids that don't care about their grades and they don't study and they don't want to do anything. They don't apply themselves. God said you might want to find somebody else to sit with at lunch. I think you ought to separate from slothful friends, especially. And I'll make this point very strongly next week. But especially if you boys, if you like a slothful girl, you're looking for trouble if you marry her. If she won't take care of the house, if she won't take care of herself, you'll regret that. You ladies, you marry a slothful man, he will not meet the needs of your household. You say, "He's handsome." Handsome don't mean nothing when there's no food on the table. Handsome doesn't mean nothing when you can't put gas in the car. Laziness. Oh, say, separate from slothful friends. I think you ought to separate from the slothful that are the spiritually slothful. I think you ought to separate from your own slothfulness. Nobody in the world can make you work hard but you. You're the only one. If you have character, you will say to yourself, instead of getting mad at the preacher or getting mad at the Bible, you'll say to yourself, "I am going to require of myself that I apply myself, and to whatever degree I can work, I do work, and whatever amount of energy it takes for me to succeed, I'm planning on investing that amount of energy in it." And you won't regret that. But God said, separate from the slothful. He didn't say be unkind to them. He said admonish them. He didn't say hurt them. He didn't say mock them. But he did say, you want to be careful being around people like that. Hey, maybe it's not you needing to be careful of them being around, you being around them. Maybe they ought to be careful being around you. I look around and I know there are people in here that have people that work under them. There are a big chunk of slothful people out there. You talk about irritating. When you work hard and you work very hard and you just know there are people that will not pull their own weight, it's not fair. It's not fair. You know what America could use? A good dose of teaching like this on national television to get America back to work. You say, well, the unemployment rate is so low. That's really not as true as what you think. And I believe the unemployment rate is low is in regard to the number of people that want to work. There are all sorts of people out there that could work, but they don't want to work. They want to be slothful. That's dangerous.